Climate change is complicated. Take invasive species. They're the things we generally want to block out. Invasive vines, bugs, weeds, and critters that swim in our rivers and streams alter native ecosystems. But climate change has forced some scientists to change their minds about the negative impacts of some invasive plants. Not everyone is on board, however. State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips reports from Philadelphia on how a common reed, known as Phragmites, is at the center of this debate.
We've all seen Phragmites, either driving along I-95 near the airport, or maybe on our way down the shore.
It's a plant that can be about 18 feet tall. It's a reed, basically. Common name is common reed.
In the winter, the plant is tan-colored, topped with a feathery seed pod that makes them look like giant paintbrushes or brooms. In the summer, the stems are green, and the brushes have a purplish sheen.
It spreads very quickly.
Lamar Gore is the manager at the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge in Southwest Philadelphia. A big part of his job is battling invasive Phragmites, trying to prevent them from taking over the wetlands at the refuge. They're too dense to walk through, even for deer. In fact, phrag comes from the Greek word for fence.
Yes, nice to see you. Are you? Did you come for the harvest?
On a winter day at the Hines Refuge, a group of volunteers works to clear a swath of Phragmites.
Big pile, coming in.
I have a white jacket on, everyone. Just to let you know, I have a white jacket on.
Gore says killing Phragmites in the remaining wetlands along the mid-Atlantic coast is an unending job.
A lot of the wetlands on the refuge are slowly being overtaken by the Phragmites. And so that takes away foraging habitat for wildlife. It also takes away some of the area where shorebirds like to feed.
There is a native Phragmites plant, but the much more aggressive, invasive subspecies originated in the Middle East, where it's used to make baskets and huts. These invasive Phragmites probably came to the U.S. in the ballast water of a ship. The first official record of non-native Phragmites in America was found in the port of Camden in 1876. About 65 miles south of the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge, on a cold, rainy day, Todd Fritchman points to a stand of Phragmites surrounding the town of Leipsic, Delaware, on the shores of the Delaware Bay.
This can be found all along the eastern seaboard from here all the way up to, you know, New York City.
As the rain splashes against our umbrellas, Fritchman explains how insidious these invasive Phragmites are. They send chemicals into the ground that poison and prevent other plants from growing near them, wiping out food sources for native birds.
Nothing eats these seeds.
Fritchman is an aquatic biologist. He sells motors and mechanical parts, and he's the captain of the Dewey Beach Patrol. He also owns an ecological services business that kills Phragmites.
So this is an area, a high marsh area, or a maritime forest area, where we should have shrub species such as high tide bush, southern bayberry.
Instead, what you see is a monoculture of densely packed reeds that create a fire hazard and look ugly to Fritchman.
In order to get rid of the plant, to control and eradicate it, you have to kill the rhizome system underground or it will always regenerate new stems.
The rhizomes are underground stems that grow horizontally and send up shoots. They're huge. They run about 4 feet below the surface and could be 10 inches in diameter. But those same stubborn, dense rhizomes are what some scientists say could help preserve marshes from impending sea level rise. Marine biologist Judith Weiss studied Phragmites for decades.
Now, 20 years ago, sea level rise was something we were thinking about as basically a future thing. Today, it's clearly with us and happening faster and faster all the time.
She says that tangle of thick, dense plant matter traps sediment really well, which helps the marsh rise in elevation. And she says Phragmites have another benefit. They clean pollutants from the water better than native species.
I'm not saying never remove it anywhere. I'm not saying go out and plant it. I'm saying there should be better ways to restore marshes, keeping sea level rise in mind, because sea level rise is may I say, an existential issue facing our marshes, and it may be a matter of survival or not.
Coastal wetlands in the Mid-Atlantic are squeezed between the ocean and development.
So they're either going to have to elevate or drown.
Weiss says the new research showing the benefits of Phragmites is ignored by marsh managers.
There's a whole army of environmental consultants that get paid to remove Phragmites and don't get paid to leave it alone.
Delaware has spent hundreds of thousands of state and federal dollars trying to clear Phragmites from coastal wetlands. And that's a lot of Roundup. 50% of Todd Fritchman's eco-services business is controlling invasive Phragmites.
Yeah, its control and eradication is condoned pretty much by every regulatory agency that exists.
And you don't think that's going to change because of climate change or sea level rise?
That's not going to change. Yeah, that will not change.
But Judith Weiss says change is needed in how we think about invasives.
Living things aren't good or evil. They are doing a variety of things, some of which we like and some of which we don't. So we can't be viewing living things as good or evil, but merely as living things and how do they fit into what we are wanting there.
And while Phragmites do not provide food for a lot of migrating songbirds, a few birds like hanging out and nesting in the densely packed reeds. And this red-winged blackbird likes to nest there so much, he's warning me to back off. Susan Phillips, State Impact, Pennsylvania.